This is an ABC podcast.
Hello there. How are you? My name is Ruby.
Hi, Ruby.
Hello.
Hi, Ruby.
Welcome to News Time, a show where we count down 5 news stories from right across the world. And as you well know by now, I can't do it without you. So, are you ready to get started?
I'm ready.
Yes, we're ready.
Are you ready?
I was born ready. All right, let's do it.
Story number 5.
This is the sound of a Saint Bernard. Often they're trained up for a very special job. They rescue people from snow-covered mountains.
Maybe they climb up the mountain or bark and then show them where to go.
They might have good grips and they have very warm coat.
But this story is about one Saint Bernard called Daisy, who ended up needing her very own mountain rescue. Daisy was going for a hike with her owners at a place called Scafell Pike. Scafell Pike is a mountain in England, and it is one steep climb. Daisy did make it all the way up to the top, but on the way back down, her legs started to hurt, and she couldn't walk anymore. The weather was getting worse, and Daisy and her owners needed to get down.
They might have carried her. They might have brought the sled and then gone down on the sled.
I could tell my mama, and she could call for help.
Good thinking. Calling for help is exactly what they did. And before long, 16 volunteers came to the rescue. It took these volunteers 5 hours to carry Daisy down the mountain, and rescuers say that she is the biggest and the friendliest dog that they've ever rescued. It's a good reminder that if you are ever in an emergency, calling for help is usually the best thing you can do.
00030, and then let's press the green button and then call, and then there'll be someone that says, which rescue person do you need? Ambulance, firefighters, or police?
Yep, and if you're not sure what to do, it's a good idea to talk to a grown-up and you can make an emergency plan together. Alrighty, now that we're safely off the mountain, looks like we are up to...
Story number 4.
On the 28th of August, it's Wear It Purple Day. Can you guess what that's about?
Wear purple?
You wear purple stuff?
Yes, and for an important reason. Wear It Purple Day is all about supporting young people in the LGBTQIA+ community. All those letters stand for people who express who they are and who they love in lots of ways. LGBTQIA+ people are sometimes called rainbow people because the rainbow flag is a symbol of their pride.
And it means that that boys can love boys and girls can love girls, and they can all love each other. Not just where there's a rainbow flag, everywhere.
Yes, the rainbow flag shows how we can all stand together even when we're all different. Just like the colours of a rainbow. Sometimes, rainbow people feel bright and colourful on the inside, but they might be afraid to show it on the outside. That's because sometimes people are mean to other people who stand out. That's bullying, and it's a problem.
It means not very nice. It's the opposite to love.
It means, like, threatening somebody else, being unkind, and yeah.
It makes them feel sad, and it also makes the person who's bullying feel sad.
Bullying or teasing someone isn't fair, and you're right, it can make people feel sad and like they're on their own. That's why Wear It Purple Day is so important. It tells rainbow kids and their families that they're celebrated and that it's safe to be exactly who they are.
It's good to do that, and we should do it all the time.
Absolutely. There are lots of ways to show kindness and respect for other people.
If they're not playing with anyone, then you can come over to them and say, hey, do you want to play with us?
Use your manners and share and say you can go first.
And you can wear it purple to show your support for rainbow kids and to help make sure everyone feels safe to be who they are. All right, my kind and colourful companions, looks like we're up to our next story.
Story number three.
Recently, the streets have been quieter than usual. That's because we're staying home as much as we can to help stop the spread of the coronavirus. But what about our rivers and our lakes? Do you think they're quieter as well?
No, because there would be lots of sea creatures since there was no one to disturb them.
They might be having a great time.
That's right. Fewer boats on the water mean that our underwater creatures have been enjoying a bit of peace and quiet. It's also given scientists an opportunity to learn a new language. The language of a rare type of dolphin. Barinan dolphins are a type of bottlenose dolphin that live in Victoria, around Port Phillip Bay and Gippsland Lakes. You can't find them anywhere else in the world. Dolphins make lots of different kinds of sounds.
To communicate with the others.
Tell something to their friend, or maybe their parents.
Warning each other, maybe, if it's a safe spot or not.
Yes, they click and whistle to talk to each other and find food. Scientists have been listening to the Barinan dolphins using a special underwater microphone called a hydrophone. And with these special hydrophones, scientists have found out that each Barinan dolphin has a name, a unique whistle that belongs to them and no one else. Scientists reckon it's the dolphins' way of introducing themselves, kind of like saying, "Hi, it's me, Ruby, the dolphin." Scientists want to learn the names of all the Barinan dolphins that live in the Gippsland Lakes so they can find out more about their special language. All right, let's dive into our next story.
Story number two.
Alwyn Doonan is a Goring Goring and Waka Waka man from central Queensland. When Alwyn was at school, he had a teacher named Mr. Bartlett. Mr. Bartlett is a Lama Lama man, and Alwyn always looked up to him as an elder and a leader. Recently, Mr. Bartlett got some bad news. He found out that he's sick. He has something called GBM, which is a type of brain cancer. Even though Alwyn had finished school, he wanted to help his old teacher. So, he put on a fundraiser to collect money and to raise awareness about brain cancer. Raising awareness means teaching the people around you about an issue you think is important.
I think it's good.
Alwyn set off from Duringa in the direction of his old school in Yeppoon, 150 kilometres away. He carried a message stick with him. That's an Aboriginal custom. It's a respectful way to walk through somebody else's land. Alwyn and Mr. Bartlett walked the last 14 kilometres together, and when they reached the gates of their old school, their friends and family were waiting there to congratulate them and show their love and support for Mr. Bartlett.
Well, I think that would be... he'd be proud if he actually finished it.
So proud! Can you think of other ways to help friends who are sick?
Get them a breakfast and I would make them their fray for breakfast.
Give them cards when you can't visit them.
Maybe getting them a present or helping them while they're sick.
Aw, lovely ideas, everyone. And you know what? It looks like we're up to our lucky last story.
Story number one.
Oh, I love the busy, buzzy sound of bees. Just listen to them all. They all sound like they're on a mission.
They go around collecting nectar to make their honey.
They like to get pollen from the flowers.
Pick up the pollen from that flower and spread it to everything, to other flowers. It helps grow it. It's called pollination.
Yep. While honeybees work on making honey, they're also pollinating the flowers they visit. But honeybees are in danger because of something called the varroa mite, a type of teeny tiny bug. It's so small that it can hide on a bee's body. If a varroa mite gets inside a beehive, it can make the bees living there very sick. That's bad news for the bees and also for all of those plants that need to be pollinated.
Then no one gets honey.
Or fruit or anything.
We need plants and trees to give to give us oxygen.
Luckily, varroa mites haven't reached Australia yet. And there's a smart new invention called the Purple Hive Project that's doing its best to keep these pesky pests from ever coming here. The Purple Hive is a special high-tech device that beekeepers can put on the outside of their beehive. Inside these purple boxes is a special camera that scans all the bees as they fly into the hive. If the camera spots a varroa mite, it sends a message to the beekeeper straight away.
That is very clever.
Very clever indeed. Hopefully, this nifty invention will stop the varroa mite from hurting our Aussie honeybees. What about you guys? Do you have any cool bee-saving ideas?
Maybe something that doesn't kill the bees, but it kills the germ. Some sort of perfume around.
This giant magnetic castle, and where the entrance would just be a gate of lightning. Like the bees can walk through it, but not the other creatures.
A bug-zapping bee palace. Love it. And that's it, my friends. We have officially reached the end of our countdown. Thanks for all your kind and creative help this week. I'm off to find some fresh new stories for next week's show. I'll catch you then.
See you later.
Bye, Ruby.
Thank you. Catch you later, alligator.
Toodaloo, kangaroo.